This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we? Sarah, back from a nice holiday. How was it?
Yeah, fabulous. No complaints. I was living it up in Costa Rica. So sorry I missed you guys, but also not sorry.
I think that's definitely more of the not sorry than sorry, isn't it, Sarah, if you're honest?
Yeah, a little bit.
What took you to Costa Rica? It sounds like a very, very glamorous place to go in April. Well done you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Actually, it was a trip with work. So at AirDNA, we have something called the 110% Club. And so basically, if you hit 110% or more of your annual target, you get an all expenses paid vacation plus an extra week of holiday with you and a plus one to an exotic location. And so this year it was Costa Rica. I took my best friend, Lauren. We had so much fun. It was amazing.
So good. So good. And does that mean there's a chance that either Rafi or myself could be your plus one next year, or is your friend?
Well, it is a stiff competition, you know. I've got lots of people banging on my door. It seems they're only the interested. Consider it. But yeah, sure, you guys can duke it out.
Yeah, I assume you'd want to take Rafi. Well, you've certainly had a more interesting couple of weeks than me, as we've been on baby duty. New baby born 11 days ago. Still no fixed name, but it is looking like Raphael is going to be the chosen option. So, Rafi, this is exciting. You probably need to rub this in Louis's face, don't you?
Quite. Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited about that. I think it's a great choice. Great name. You definitely made the right decision there.
Well, let's see. I'll come back to you next week. Yeah. let's see. Well, look, guys. It's been a hell of a week, right? I mean, in the week where VRMA has been in the news, seemingly for the wrong reasons, it'd be wrong to not talk about the STR bonanza that was London. Three events very close together. Sarah, you were obviously missed, I'm sure. I'm sure you know that. So we had Scale Green, the Shorties, and the Short Stay Summit all in one week. I think it was a rip-roaring success. Rafi, you were involved in all three. Congratulations on the Shorties win. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so OVA Network won the award of Best Leisure Property Management Company. First time we actually applied for a Shorties award, and we're really excited to have won it. So thanks to everyone who voted for us. Big congratulations to all of the companies that won an award, and even the companies that got nominated, I think. You know, it's really great for everyone. The event was a lot of fun. Great to catch up with everyone there and network again.
It looked like a lot of fun. I've seen a couple of videos, Rafi, where it looked like you guys were celebrating properly.
Yeah. A lot of dancing.
Very good. Yeah, it seems like it was a good night. Again, I was changing nappies, so I missed it, unfortunately. But yeah, congratulations to everyone. I know, big shout out there. Mark Boostley, consumer champion. Great win for them. Vanessa D'Souza Lago, Sustonica winning Innovator Disruptor. Rafi, I'm sure there are others on the night that I missed. But yeah, sounds like it was a good party all round. Sarah, did you miss us too much? Any regret that you weren't at the Shorties dancing away?
I mean, I would say yes, but I was visiting a volcano, so probably not. But I was watching everything come in. We did celebrate in your honor when we were in Costa Rica, so not there physically, but definitely felt part of the team. So
yeah, nice. And Rafi, you were at the inaugural Scale Green, friend of the show, occasional contributor Damien organized Scale Green. First year, how was it? Obviously, sustainability is something that we've talked about on the pod a couple of times.
Yeah. I thought it was a really big success. So yeah, shout out to the whole Scale team for organizing it. I felt like it went really, really well. I would definitely go to the next one if there was going to be a next one. Also shout out to Bob for pioneering sustainability in the industry and making this event happen. There was one talk in particular, which I found really, really interesting, and it took a different angle to what we're used to hearing about when we're talking about sustainability. Ufi Ibrahim, if I'm not pronouncing that wrong, was talking about sustainability, basically the fact that, you know, there's all these regulations coming in and that sustainability is no longer really a good thing to do. It's literally going to become necessary. So yeah, that was a really great talk. I recommend people following her on LinkedIn and having a look a bit more closely at what she's doing. I think that these are things that we really need to be taking seriously. And I was super happy to hear her speak at the event.
Very interesting. And then the final of the three events was the Short Stay Summit. Full disclosure, I've been involved in organizing it on and off for a few years. So I was very proud. So I was very proud to see how big an event it's become. Busy stands, busy conference hall, really good content. Shout out to Diane and Mike who organized that. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And it's interesting because, you know, heavily regulated environment in Europe and certainly maybe slight downturn in the market in Europe as well, and certainly in the UK over the last few months. But it seemed the conference was very buoyant and people were here to learn, find new avenues for taking bookings. Some of that's going to come up in the things we talk about today. So the mood in the room was certainly buoyant. So yeah, great week, I thought. Thanks, Rafi. Sarah, any shout outs from you?
I don't think so. I think my brain is still on holiday mode. Just congratulations to Rafi and OVA Network. It's really exciting, especially as it being your first time going up for any awards. So yeah, it was great. I think I sent you the photo of like, oh my gosh, she won. Yeah. on our WhatsApp group. So it's really exciting to see that. So just congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing. Well, let's get into it, gang. We've got three articles for today. The first one is from FocusWire, the maturing SDR sector challenged to balance host security and guest privacy. This is a really interesting article. I think it caught us all a little bit by surprise. Sarah, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, sure. So basically the article talks about how last month Airbnb banned the use of indoor security cameras. Kind of shocking to me, actually. Vrbo's had a similar policy in place since 2022. And so, you know, fleets of vendors have already stepped up with new solutions. So I think definitely the market is ready for that. And essentially the article just kind of talks about this being a testament to Airbnb's approach to balancing host security and guest privacy within the short-term rental sector, and how Airbnb has this goal of additional initiatives like background checks to try and sort of fill the gap of what they perceive as the lack of this safety measure of the security cameras inside. You can still have them outside. So like outside the door to make sure that there's nobody entering or leaving the residence that shouldn't be, but anything indoors is no longer allowed, which I think is, well, I'll let you guys open it up, but I can't believe it was allowed. It kind of creeps me out that I've been staying in Airbnbs that might be recording me.
Yeah, that's the shocking thing, isn't it? I wonder what has to happen in your property that you then resort to having a camera in position. I mean, obviously there's the element of people that are just being extra cautious or a bit paranoid, or, you know, they're doing the wrong thing clearly. But, you know, it's what I took from the article, and clearly, like, you know, I'm in the trust and safety game myself, so it's something we think about. But, you know, if you've already let that person in the property, it's too late, you know, and so you have to be trying to use background checks and guest screening, noise boxes, anything like that, I think, to try and reduce that person from coming, because then you kind of do away with the excuse for having it. Because it might be that someone's trying to do the right thing, like, oh, I've had this happen too many times, you know, too many parties happen in the hot tub. But really then curate your pre-check-in process to stop that from happening. And I think, Rafi, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, because you run and manage a a portfolio of amazing chalets, right? That must have that party threat. And as far as I know, you've never had a big party. And I think I would know about it, unless you've kept it from me. But you haven't had a big party. So I wonder, two questions for you, Rafi. One, like, what do you think can be done to help mitigate the risk in the first place? And two, have you ever had an owner say to you, I'm only renting out if you let me have a camera on the property?
Yeah, so we actually don't have too many issues. We have definitely had some instances where guests were partying. We actually had a situation where we had a bunch of influencers in a chalet. It wasn't organized by us. They just, you know, self-booked. And they were trashing the place. They were throwing potatoes in the swimming pool and, you know, doing all these crazy things, damaging the walls and the floors. It was pretty horrific. But it's really rare for us. Luckily, I think the fact that we do have this niche and we get 80% direct bookings, that does help us. I mean, a lot of our guests are past guests and, you know, through our marketing, we're trying to attract the right type of people and it's working out well for us. I just think, you know, from a general perspective, maybe owners are just not really aware of the different solutions that are out there. And we can understand their need to want to protect their property. You know, in most cases, they're probably really precious about it and they don't want to see it being trashed like it was in this one case that we had. But also I think there's a lot that property management companies can do, whether that's guest screening, ensuring that the house rules are clearly communicated at the right time to the guests, and even also just, you know, keeping a record of different guests that have gone through your properties, whether that's through internal ratings or even having blacklist and making sure that a problematic guest isn't allowed to come back. But yeah, balancing guest privacy and owner asset protection is really key. And I think there's definitely a fine line where you're tipping a bit too much on one end of the spectrum there.
Yeah, interesting. I also wanted to point out, I mean, in the article, there's some data cited from Safely, which suggests that 14% of guests are causing 70% of the damages or concerns, right? So I think you're right there, Rafi. It's all about sort of that initial screening and taking back some of that power, which I think it brings up the point of Airbnb launching kind of background checks as a way of doing this. I know you mentioned you guys are mostly direct bookings, which makes it even easier for you to track. But I think it's something to look at for the OTAs to maybe facilitate that a little bit more as well.
Yeah. And I think the Ring doorbell system is actually the easiest one because it's not invasive, but you know, you can then see, and if they open the window and people start piling in through the window, that's where you need some sort of noise box or, you know, device activation box to see how many people are logging into the Wi-Fi. So look, there's definitely technology out there that you can use. Clearly, I think it was you that said it, Rafi. It's making hosts and property managers aware of it so that they know the options are there. And I find that people do get very jaded by having problems, and so I don't think anybody who has ended up putting a security camera inside a property wants to do it. I think it is you're led to that position, you're led into that position because you feel desperate and you don't realize what else is out there. So again, we would say, you know, de-risk it at the start and make sure you're sort of super choosy about it. And then Rafi, so has it happened? Has a host ever said, I have a camera, or have you discovered a camera or not?
No, luckily. I mean, not that I'm aware of. We have not had that situation. Thank God. I find, yeah, that's definitely something that we want to stay away from.
Keep looking. Keep looking. Maybe not looking hard enough.
Maybe.
Gang, okay. I think that one's quite self-explanatory, isn't it? And hopefully that long may the trend continue of people using technology instead of spying on people in a very crude way. Let's go to this second article, one we thought was really interesting, quite a natural reaction perhaps to what's going on in the market. So this is an article from Skift. Short-term rentals branch out, hourly rentals and international student housing. Rafi, you going to lead on this one?
Yeah. Yeah, so the short-term rental industry is branching out and we're seeing new companies offering different models to the traditional nightly model that we're all used to seeing. So there's hourly rentals. This article is specifically talking about hourly rentals for the entertainment industry and then short-term student housing. So for the hourly rentals, I feel like this is, I mean, I find this specific one is especially interesting. in this case, it's talking about the entertainment industry, but I think there's actually a lot of opportunity here for different types of businesses and use cases, whether that's business meetings, co-working spaces, events, photo and film shoots, travel layovers for short-term rental companies, which are located near airports, marketing and promotional events. I mean, there are so many different things that we could potentially go for, depending on where you're located and how you operate. And, you know, there are so many benefits, one of which is that you're actually targeting businesses which have larger budgets. And in this article, it was actually saying this one company that's targeting the entertainment industry, if they have a house that usually rents for $2,000 a night, this company is able to rent out for $3,000 for 4 hours just because it's for commercial use. So really, really interesting opportunity. And then I think it's also something that you can use to sort of be less dependent on high season and increase your occupancy year round. And so it's something that we're looking into at Over Network. In terms of disadvantages, there's the damage risk, of course. I don't know if it's heightened. I would say it's probably the same, if not even maybe less of a risk, but I'm not too sure about that. But then also there's the regular changeover, and you have to make sure you have the staff available for that. So interesting. I definitely think it's interesting and worth looking into. Then you have the short-term student housing. So this is a company called Outpost Club, which provides monthly furnished rentals to international students and interns that are visiting the US. And it's operating under a leasing structure. It provides owners with a more stable income and a more hands-off approach. There's obviously less turnover as well, but then there's the risk of longer vacancies and difficulties with certain tenants that could be difficult to evict, which is less of an issue in short-term rentals. So I think that this is also a very good alternative for owners who operate in areas that have restrictions and where maybe Airbnb is illegal. But in our case, I mean, I was thinking about this, and you know, where we live in the French Alps, it's not students, it's more saisonniers that have to come up to the Alps to work, you know, during the winter season. And obviously the winter season is when we have the most tourists, and that's one of the issues. And then NC, the place that we have our office in, is both saisonniers but also students. So I think it's about coming up with innovative solutions to problems that your locality is facing, and trying to work with the local communities to find solutions together. The flexibility is really what's important in this case.
And I'd love to touch on the hourly one for a little bit, if you guys don't mind, like the daily one, and maybe sort of potentially, like, sorry to bring the drama, but the seedy side of that. I know that I've spoken with a couple of startups historically who are trying to do something similar. As you said, Rafi, like, the money is there. Why is the money there? Because usually it's the adult entertainment industry that is doing that. And so I think there might be also something there for the owners. Like, do you want your property to be featured in, you know, are there restrictions there? What does the contract look like for that? I think the events, you're probably right. That's probably the biggest risk for damage is if you're hosting, let's say, I don't know, a large company party or something like that. Definitely less risk, I would say, with the rent by hours. But I think I wouldn't call it a moral issue, but I can see owners potentially having some sort of objection to that. And so I'd love to get your take, Rafi, on what would your stance be on how to communicate that to owners? And do you foresee that being even an issue in this?
Yeah, I think it's about targeting, you know, the right use cases and also finding the owners that are interested. I mean, for sure, a lot of our owners wouldn't be interested, but then we have certain owners who would. And in that case, you know, it's worth exploring. For us, the ones that we were interested in is wellness retreats, for example, and business retreats. I mean, I think that we actually have a lot of surrounding businesses that would love to rent a chalet for a week to go and work up there and, you know, with the whole team and stuff. So, but yeah, definitely there are certain use cases that you want to stay away from.
Yeah. Well, and it's very location dependent as well, I can imagine, right? You're not going to get the same average nightly rate or daily rate for a property in the hills of LA or in the Alps that's a 9-bedroom property as you would for, I don't know, something in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah. And it depends also on the quality of the short-term rental that you're using. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the wellness retreats, right? Nobody wants the parties. I think one thing to say on that point though, Sarah, is if it's an hourly rental, so we actually have, I think maybe one or two clients that specialize in this, and certainly get a lot of inquiries coming in, inbound inquiries for people wanting protection for these particular type of bookings. And a lot of them we would turn down for the risk, for the damage factor, for sure. But often if it's a really hourly, if it's short, by the hour rental, you'll have the host on hand. So they'll stay to let the person in and sort of hover around. Certainly in the case of co-working, meeting room space, things of that nature, or you only offer a portion of the house. A company we inquired recently for protection was a swimming pool sharing one. And that's even easier in a lot of cases because you're not actually giving anyone access to your property. You're just, you know, you're sort of letting them in through the side and then they're using the swimming pool. So I think there's good examples of it. I think it shows how people generally purchase things now and the flexibility there is in booking something by the hour and allowing it. It's the sharing economy at its best, potentially, right? Mm-hmm. Because you've got a swimming pool that you're not using because you're out of town for the day. You're allowed, someone can come in and use it. But it definitely is riskier because clearly if you're coming in by the hour and you get through the system and you're planning on having a party, excellent, right? You're just there for a few hours and before you've had time to call the police, you're off on your merry way. But I do think it's very interesting for people to think about how they increase during low season their occupancy rates and their revenue from their properties. When it comes to film and photo shoots, again, bit of experience in this because we have a couple of clients that do this as well. Photo shoots are much less risky. There's much less damage generally than a film shoot. So if someone comes and films an advert in your home, but if someone films an advert in your home, you will make so much money from the advert that you will struggle to say no. And then it's a case of you just got to be willing to repaint the wall, you know, replace the furniture and all that sort of stuff. And the really interesting thing about advertising, the advertising industry here, is that they're not necessarily looking for everything needing to be high end or luxury or have a pool or be in Ibiza or be in the Alps. You know, actually your most bog standard apartment in, you know, around the corner from me in London might just do it because that's what you're trying to show in the advert, or that's what you're showing in the TV show that's being filmed there. So I remember listening to a talk on this. I went to the Thanks for Visiting conference in Columbus, Ohio last year, and they had someone in who specialized in this. And the money's there to be made. It's just about finding the agency, finding the OTA, finding the contact to get into it, because what film shoots really like is consistency. So if they know your property's there and they know what they're walking into, they will come and book it time and time again. So yeah, I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased we're talking about this article, because I would always advise people, whilst you have to accept you're going to have more damage, to think about it for off season. And the student one's interesting. If I can just jump into that, the student one's really interesting because I think as property managers get bigger, they generally then start to be able to pitch block owners to take over whole blocks. Sarah, with your American hat on, this is probably something you've seen more in the States because you've got bigger buildings. But at that point, then I think your inventory is more appropriate for the student market because it has greater availability and greater consistency. You know, you know how the apartments play. You could have cleaners in the building, so you've got the economies of scale, so you can bring the price down. And again, I think this is part of the general trend of people being more flexible in how they live and work. So not just students, but people coming and doing exchange programs for a couple of weeks, people working for a couple of weeks, like you and your friends in Costa Rica, Sarah, right? You know, if you'd stayed on for another couple of weeks, you'd need a good internet connection. And as an industry, we need to be set up to take these guests because we've got the inventory sat there and you don't want them to just end up staying in a service department. If you make your inventory available to them, then people will choose it because they'll want to stay in something that's more unique, more impressive, and more like a short-term rental as opposed to apart hotels, hotel rooms, and things like that. So I think there's a big opportunity there for people to embrace that type of stay.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I like the idea of having them all in a single building. I think logistically it makes sense, and realistically as well, if you're gonna do that for students, you want to be with other students, I would imagine. Other than that, I kind of struggle to see how it's different than a normal midterm rental, right? That somebody would have mixed use for, whether it's for business or for something else. So I don't know that it's a super new concept. Airbnb already has month-long stays. Most of the OTAs do. So I don't see it as like a novel concept necessarily. So it is interesting. I find the rent by day or rent by hour much more novel concept, I think, at least in terms of what I've seen.
We're seeing individual owners who are doing a bit of both. So like during the student year, they'll be doing long-term rentals, and then over summer they'll be doing short-term rentals.
Yeah, I think that mix is pretty common. That's an interesting one too.
So gang, when we all get together in Barcelona, let's rent a house with a pool for a couple of hours, just hang out, let's test drive it, and then we can go and tell everyone how it's been.
Sounds like a plan.
Shout out there then to our audience. If anyone's embraced hourly rental or student rental, let us know in the comments or send us an email and we can talk about it next week. Because it is, again, I think it's a fascinating way of getting your occupancy up and getting your revenues up, especially during a challenging market. Alrighty. So third article today is from the Financial Times. Parisians struggle to cash in on the Olympic Games rentals. Now, great, we've got Sarah here for this because I'm sure there's going to be some data talked about. I wanted to go back to this because Rafi and I spoke about it with Damien last week when we were talking about the trends. And Rafi said to us, and I quote, "The locals are leaving Paris in their droves because they don't want to be there for the Olympics." And the article seems to suggest that maybe that's the case, right? So, and full disclaimer here, you know, honesty call, I love Paris. I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to spend all of their time in Paris, but it seems that locals are struggling to fill the nights that they're putting online because there's a lot more supply in the market because other people are also thinking, I'd like to get out of town as well. There's also the fact that lots of Parisians take every August off anyway and vacate their Parisian apartments and go to the coast. So there's that trend anyway. And this is being exacerbated by people wanting to leave because of the Olympics. I was in London for 2012 and we had such a good time. So Parisians, stay. What are you doing? It'll be fun. I promise. It'll be fun. It won't be as bad as they say it'll be. But yeah, I think there's also the fact that you might have people that would have normally gone to Paris, but are probably staying away because they don't want to get caught in the Olympic crowd. So that's probably not benefiting it as well. And it did make me think perhaps the Olympics does more benefit when it goes to a city that needs the adrenaline hit, you know, that needs the emphasis put on it. I'm thinking, Sarah, of your own home, Barcelona, that it's fair to say the locals say, you tell me if I'm right, that 92 was a big moment for them because it brought a lot of tourists there for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, and then the World Congress every year is, I mean, it's a chance to basically double rates. Right.
Yeah.
So definitely this phenomenon.
Over to you, Sarah. What's the data saying?
Yeah. I mean, so I would actually challenge some of the information in the article. Shocking. Me having a difference of opinion. But I think, you know, one of the things we're seeing in the data is actually an astonishing 154% increase in bookings for the dates of the Paris Olympics. What's interesting is that most of those are coming from the suburbs. So that's where we're seeing the biggest amount of growth. In short-term rentals. So that seems to track with what we were mentioning in the article about Parisians getting out of the city. But it certainly is something that is food for thought because in the city center or in Paris proper, we're not seeing that same increase. And so I think maybe there people are going more towards either towards hotels or it's a case of trying to economize. The other thing to look at is that booked rates. So I think this is maybe the distinction that the article is talking about of properties that have already been booked. There's only been a 7% increase across all of the Olympic locations in terms of rates. When we're looking at available rates, that's up by 46% compared to like if we compare it to the 2 weeks before the Olympics start. So there is still definitely a gap in what's available. I think people are holding out as they should for those bookings to come in. And also of note is that the people who booked early have secured some great rates already, assuming those bookings aren't canceled because the host realizes, oh crap, the Olympics are coming. And I didn't know. It seems unlikely, but you never know. You'd be shocked. So if we look at Paris city center, the rates for the dates of the Olympics are averaging about 600 euros a night, which is well above the standard average of 327 a night in Paris. So it's nearly double. And then in the suburbs, we're seeing
definitely people trying to economize. So the average nightly rate there of booked properties, or of available properties, sorry, is 331 euros a night. And normally that's at 189. So it's definitely a money game of those going out to the suburbs. But an interesting phenomenon. And I think one of the beautiful things about Airbnb in general is that it kind of gets us out of the typical city center hotels where there maybe is less of that kind of local flavor. And so that's one of the phenomenons that we're definitely seeing in the data for the Olympics.
I'd agree with that on the getting out to the suburbs. I think that London benefits from that too, massively. I was listening to something Jamie said, Sarah, and a couple of weeks ago on Good Morning Hospitality with Will and Brandy and Michael, and that the eclipse in the US actually saw a lot of people going and using their second home properties or not going away because they wanted to be in the path of it, which I thought was really interesting because, again, I think if you looked at the data for London, if we went back and looked at the 2012 data, I think lots of locals stayed and also supported the event. So I just wonder, actually, if what will happen is people will get caught up in the fever of it a little bit, remove their listings from the websites, and then actually, the people who do really want to go will find they do get booked out last minute. So I think that's interesting. I think it's one we should keep looking at month on month, just because I know Rafi loves talking about sport as well. So, she's probably delighted that we're going to look at that. Every week. Come on, let's do it every week. Rafi, any thoughts on it?
No, I mean, you guys covered it. I was going to say, yeah, I was going to do a parallel with the solar eclipse. But for me, the solar eclipse was specific in the sense that it's such a rare event. And also it's free. And I think that the locals, if you were on the path of it, then everyone was just thinking, well, let's make the best of this and let's, create an event out of it, invite friends over. In this case, it's a paid event. It's in the middle of summer. Parisians, like you said, are anyway trying to leave. And probably a lot of new houses are coming up on the platform of Airbnb that have never rented before just because people are seeing this as a great opportunity to make money. But yeah, the demand is not keeping up with the increase in supply. So I think that the prices are probably going to have to end up dropping at some point.
Well, I'm definitely going to now book a trip to Paris for the Olympics. My partner actually banned me from booking us Paris trips because it's the only place I ever wanted to go. She was like, not Paris again. Can you imagine saying that, getting to the point where you say, not Paris again, please?
Just book in the suburbs and then that doesn't even count, right?
gang, I think that's a wrap. Rafi, Sarah, so nice to see you both.
Good to see you too.
Any other shout outs? Anything else you want to mention before we go? We did it. If you enjoyed the show, hit share, like, subscribe in all the usual social places. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you.